Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful Overbooked, and it's Saturday. It's March 25th. I do that so that the audio people know what the date is, because people like myself and Jeff Hawkins had conversations about how old we are, because today we're going to talk, we're going to talk about WrestleMania gimmick matches. Now, Jeff, like I said, we were kind of talking off air, and we came to the realization that there have been 39 WrestleManias as of next weekend.
Yes.
And we may have been around for most of these WrestleManias.
I was around for all of them. I've seen them all.
And then there are some fans who are probably about to turn 18, 19, 20. And they're like,
Meh.
I remember WrestleMania 23. And I'm like, I was at WrestleMania 23. There's been a lot of different matches. I think you and I, as we kind of did some research, discovered that there have been some gimmick matches, but there have also been a lot of matches with like no DQ or just random stipulations.
You know, the one that always sticks out for me for some reason is, you know, the Harley Race Junkyard Dog kiss my bow to me or kiss my feet or whatever it is.
That's gimmick.
Okay. No, it's a regular match, but the loser then has to do something afterwards if they lose. See, that's a stipulation.
See, this is where we're going to get deep into the
okay.
Because
I will explain. I will greatly explain. A stipulation is it's a match, but it, you know, no holds barred, no DQ. There's a rule change in there. A gimmick match involves a gimmick, like a ladder or a cell or giant mouse traps or something. That's actually if you ask me what my favorite gimmick match at Mania was, it probably is Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville. Really is.
It's like the most overrated, underrated match, because it shouldn't be considered underrated,
right?
Because it's just so damn good, and it should have been on more people's match of the year. But because it's a gimmick match, it doesn't face that.
It made me laugh instead of clap. You know, okay, great. You know,
I'm here to laugh. I'm not here. I don't take wrestling seriously. No. I watch Impact, for Christ's sake.
No, but I mean, but it's. Interesting, though, that because there are so few gimmick matches, it makes the gimmick matches on there special. And I think that's part of the point. You know, like, what do you think the worst gimmick match they ever had on a WrestleMania is? Because I have an idea. Let me back off there, because it's obviously one of these Playboy evening gown or a Playboy pillow fight match. Those are obviously the worst. But I mean, Aki Bono and Big Show in a sumo match is still fun for me.
It's still fun. Even Mayweather and Big Show was had an entertaining build, and the match was fine, even though it was, you know, it wasn't much, but it, again, makes you laugh. No, the Nigerian drum fight, and that's pretty recent. Everyone had this, not everyone, but a lot of people, myself included, had an idea of like what it could be, and they did nothing to explain it. And then on the day of the show, it was just a random
no DQ match or a street fight, right?
Yeah, just a random no DQ match with drums around the corner.
No, we just wanted to put two black wrestlers in a Nigerian drum fight.
And it just felt racist as hell.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then looking at it, and I'm like, you can talk about Last Man Standing with Edge and Orton, and like that match just went too long. It had potential, and then it lasted like 40
minutes. Was that also the one that they plugged as the greatest match ever?
No, that was the next time they went. Because, this was the one at WrestleMania 36 where they there's the very famous line of tweets from different people in wrestling media where two out of three people were panning the match, and then one person in particular is just like, this is the greatest match ever. It's so much storytelling, and I'll let you guys figure out who it is or go find the line of who spoke about it. But, yeah.
Yeah, but they've also innovated at WrestleMania, which, I mean, Money in the Bank was born out of WrestleMania.
Yes, it was.
Like five of these that came in. They were all very, very good, I thought.
you can even argue that the ladder match, the TLC match,
yes,
that later would happen, that started with the wrestle. Well, it started with No Mercy 99, where they did the Terry Invitational. They did the ladder match with Edge and Christian and the Hardys. And then they went on to WrestleMania. They introduced the ladder match three-way at 2000. And then,
yeah, the next year was TLC. Yeah.
And then they did TLC again at SummerSlam in 2000. So it built, but I think it got better and better every time they tried to put on those ladder match and TLC matches.
Now your gimmick WrestleMania winner is WrestleMania 22. Money in the Bank, which Rob Van Dam won. Hardcore match, Edge versus Mick Foley. That's one where Foley came back and went through the burning table, I believe. A casket match between Undertaker and Mark Henry. No holds barred between Shawn Michaels and Vince McMahon. And the aforementioned Playboy pillow fight between Torrey Wilson and Candice Michelle. That's a lot of gimmicks for a WrestleMania, because they usually don't have one or two, or they're like, you'll have the hardcore title being defended. So it's technically a gimmick match, but it's not, you know, the 24/7 title types of things. I think though, for my personal preferences, my favorite might be the New Age Outlaws versus Chainsaw Charlie and Terry Funk in a dumpster match.
That was such a good match and such a stupid match.
Yes.
Time.
It was unbelievably stupid. But at the same time, I was just like, I can't believe Terry Funk's in the WWE
It wasn't Terry Funk. It was Chainsaw Charlie. There was a difference.
I believe that. Was this the broadcast that both Road Dogg and Jim Ross said, "The hell with that. That's Terry Funk"?
Very well could have.
Because I think they're the da na na. Oh, you didn't know? And then Road Dogg comes out, Terry Funk gonna whip your ass. It's like, no, that's Chainsaw Charlie. JR goes, that's Terry Funk.
We're both the Nylon King. It's Terry Funk.
The build is problematic, but the backlot brawl I thought was also a lot of fun. I thought they're going to bring that back for this. That's something that I thought maybe Steve Austin would do this year.
Yes and no. So, like you said, the build is problematic, but the match itself was also rooted in the OJ chase, and that was once in a lifetime story. So it was so stupid that there's nothing else that could make the Hollywood backlot brawl like resemble what it was in 96.
No, but it was an interesting choice to do due to locale. And I like those types of matches. I wish they'd do more of those, to be honest with you, occasionally for WrestleMania, especially now that it's two nights and you just got to fill time.
Yeah. And it's funny, because going into this, I've noticed that there are clearly more gimmicky matches as you get deeper into the years. You know, we talked offline about how there's a bunch of years where suddenly the WWF was very serious.
Yeah, three through nine, there's nothing, because you're doing like the tournament at four.
Yep.
And other things. I mean, you'll have stipulation matches, but you won't have gimmick matches. They're all just straight blow-offs of feuds for the most part.
Yeah, exactly. And Playboy, by the way, going back to them, they got involved twice on WrestleMania matches. They did the evening gown match with Torrey and Sable against Jackie Gata and Stacy, and then they did the pillow fight at 22 with Torrey and Candace. So Torrey, clearly the Playboy cover girl wrestling crossover.
Yes. She's somewhat attractive, Joel. I don't know if you know this.
Really?
You know the one that I was most geeked for, though, is very, very early. It was WrestleMania 2 with the NFL players in the Battle Royal.
Yes. Yeah, so this one I never got super into, because I'm not a huge football fan to begin.
Okay.
But like,
I was. And it was like they had all these offensive and defensive linemen going in there against the wrestlers. And I was like, oh man, this is gonna be great.
And
it was work at the time, but
like it opened the door for like Refrigerator Perry years and years later and other crossovers with the NFL.
Yeah. Definitely. And Taylor Bigelow gets a lot of crap from that SummerSlam. Or was it SummerSlam or Mania? I can't remember.
Didn't they do it at Mania 11?
You're right, I think. Sorry, I don't have that written down. The only thing I have written down for WrestleMania 11 is I Quit, Hart Backlund.
Which that was the only I Quit match that's on this list.
Well, there was a submission match two years later with Bret and Austin.
That doesn't count.
I know. Well, what's the point of a submission then? to make somebody quit. I get that they're different, but at the same time, it's just it's weird how they kind of tap dance these things. Like, you'll have a no holds barred, but also a no DQ match on the same WrestleMania.
Yes.
Like, well, technically they're different.
And that's why I looped all of them together. And I just kind of sat there like, I'm not going to write Falls Count Anywhere for everyone. No disqualification, street fight. Like, I basically, if they had weapons involved, like a extreme rules match, that wasn't a hardcore match, it was all on the list with like the toys match.
Yeah. And we'd be doing disservice if we did not go to the greatest gimmick match of all time on this, and that is WrestleMania 10, the ladder match with Razor and HBK.
So again, is that a gimmick match or is that a stipulation?
That's a gimmick match because there's a ladder.
And the ladder is a gimmick.
Ladder's a gimmick.
Interesting. Okay.
Stipulations are just straight matches where you change the rules. So gimmick matches are here are things for you to play with within the bounds. Like to me, a Chicago street fight is a gimmick match.
Right. It's a street fight. So you're going to bring tools to the ring and you're going to use them.
Yes.
And the placement of the city just happens to be where they are.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. The ladder match, of course, is something you can use the ladder to your advantage. And I guess we also included TLC as a gimmick match.
Yes.
You're still reaching for the title. The title, you're not scoring
a pin. You're not pinning or, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I get it. And it's on the list. So, I mean, clearly it's something that we put down.
You know, as opposed to, say, like Savage Warrior, where, you know, if Savage loses, he retires. That's not a gimmick match. That's a stipulation.
See, now we're doing the professor gimmicks. This is why I bring you on.
Yeah, I still have some usefulness to the Fightful universe. It's always nice.
Yeah, it's not just because we didn't drop a newsworthy video for Jeremy and I this morning and I needed to fill content. No, it's not that at all. It's very much because I value your opinion and your history lessons, Jeff.
Yeah, you just happen to value it late Friday night. Where you go.
No idea what you're talking about. We've had this plan for months. It's been on the calendar.
No, but I mean, just going through these, there's a lot of these I forgot about that I may need to watch or may not need to watch, depending on them. Like, I had forgotten the Boss Man Undertaker Hell in the Cell match was at a Mania.
Oh, that was, you can't forget that one because that was the hanging, the infamous.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's why I don't watch it anymore.
and of course, like, people were like, what about Kendall from Hell? That was not at WrestleMania.
That was not at WrestleMania.
That was at Unforgiven in 1999, right. I think, or 98. Yeah,
there's a lot of matches people think were at WrestleManias, but they weren't.
No. Why would you do it anyway? Do you consider a boxing match a gimmick match here?
Yes.
Yeah? Because, I mean, Mr. T and Piper at WrestleMania.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
At the time. People don't realize how big of a star Mr. T really was. I mean, Mr. T was... Who would I put the modern day equivalent of Mr. T as just big transcendental star that can do movies or TV and is known on site? I mean, you know, maybe I was going to say Jonathan Majors, but that would be problematic right now.
You're dating yourself. It's okay, Jeff.
No, Jonathan Majors.
I don't know.
He's recent. He's the guy who was in Kang. He's Kang the Conqueror from Ant-Man. No, but just somebody who was everywhere in everything all at once. That's Mr. T. That's him in the early 80s. The A-Team. I mean, if you were a child back then and you didn't watch the A-Team, you were not allowed to socialize because you had nothing in common with anybody else.
Wow. I Googled Jonathan Majors and I'm like, now I know why you backtracked.
Yes. Thank you.
Literally an hour ago. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What about a winner gets to referee the main event? They did this at what? This was at 15, Mankind and Paul White.
Yes, that's a stipulation.
But then the gimmick becomes the referee kind of plays into the final of the match.
That's a special referee, though. That's a little bit of a gimmick. The special referee is a gimmick, but it's also a long-standing wrestling tradition. I mean... No, it really is. I mean, I can think of like Joe Frazier at a Starrcade, I believe, refereed a match.
Jeez.
You know, I mean, and of course, it's always part of the story then. Then it becomes a story match because you remember the, another Hell in the Cell, I believe, HBK or Triple H and Undertaker with HBK as the special referee.
Right. And that was because HBK had already been disposed of and retired by the Undertaker the year before, 2 years past. Yeah, that makes sense. They become part of the larger story.
Yeah. Now, see, here's the things I don't know are gimmicks or gimmick versus stipulation, because they kind of toe the line. Like, I really enjoy the 3-on-1 match between Jericho and the Legends at WrestleMania 25.
Yeah, that definitely does.
That's a gimmick, I think.
Though. That's a gimmick because Jericho was basically on the warpath to get to the wrestler, to Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke, yeah, that's the Mickey Rourke one where he was supposed to do WrestleMania and then he chose not to.
Yes, so this is, yeah, this is, and it also opened the door for Snuka to have a very quick and successful last run. For those of you who are in audio, I am using the air quotes, but this is,
and Ricky Steamboat looked great in that match.
Yes, it was more Steamboat than Snuka. Yeah, you're right, I was reading Snuka's name first, but yeah, it was Dragon who came out and had an unbelievable return. And then I'm looking at, like, yeah,
and then he got beat up by the Nexus the next night and got injured.
It's just what you do.
Yeah, of course you kill all that guy's heat.
Yeah.
How dare he?
But then, like, Steamboat and Jericho had a match, I think, at, like, the Backlash, the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think so.
So, hey, sometimes it works. Boogeyman and Booker T, Charmel, that's pretty gimmicky because the gimmick of Boogeyman overtakes everything.
But that's not a gimmick match. It's a gimmick in a match.
Yeah, but it's still, like, Boogeyman, anything Boogeyman does is inherently a gimmick.
Well, it's not a good match, so I understand what you're trying to do here. You're trying to parse things, and it's pretty straightforward, Joel. The difference between a gimmick and a stipulation.
I get it. I do. I hate it. But
I know you do.
We're still towing lines here.
I know.
Like the Iron Man match between Shawn and Bret. Not a gimmick?
It's the stipulation of the match that it goes 60 minutes. It might be a gimmick, though. I mean, oh, God. Those are the types that I don't know, really.
Yeah.
Because
there's more than one fall to a finish. It's the winner after 60
minutes. Is an unsanctioned match a gimmick or a stipulation?
Unsanctioned to me feels gimmicky because if wrestling was about wins and losses, then this wouldn't count.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's one of those, the company disavows any knowledge of this match, even though we're putting it on here and taking all your money for it. Yeah.
This is a fun one. At WrestleMania 36, the unknown WrestleMania, the one that never existed and never had a crowd, they did the SmackDown tag titles in a ladder match.
The triple threat ladder match? Yeah. The
triple threat singles ladder match. They had Morrison, one of the Usos.
Jimmy Uso
and Kofi Kingston, because Miz got COVID.
Yeah, and I also thought Jay was injured.
Jay could have been injured too. I remember for sure Miz had COVID, and it was just like this snake bit.
Yes.
Match. And for some reason, they're like, put the tag titles on the line, but like have whoever wins be the tag team champion.
They really wanted Kofi and John Morrison to go off ladders in that WrestleMania.
Yes, and that was the time when we all realized, crash pads, we can do that now.
Yeah, no, I remember I enjoyed one of the nights of that WrestleMania. Or was it a one-night WrestleMania or was it a two-night?
No, that was the first two-night WrestleMania.
Yeah, I enjoyed the second night, I think, a lot.
That was the Brock and Drew finish.
Or it might have been the first one. I can't remember. One of those nights was good.
Yeah,
one of those nights was Charlotte and Rhea, where I just went.
I think that was night two. Okay. Night one finished off with one of the best gimmick matches ever, and that's the Boneyard match.
Yes, the Boneyard match was quite good, and then it led to the the Bray John Cena.
Oh, so good!
No, shut up.
Okay, Jeff, lore. We're telling stories.
I know, yeah, but you gotta tell good stories.
Oh, no, it's wrestling. We don't tell good stories. We just tell stories.
Yeah, okay. Jimmy tore his ACL in that match.
I see that in the chat. Okay. Yeah. Was that during in the match? Wow, holy crap! I gotta go back and watch the unknown WrestleMania.
The empty stadium. That just
empty. Oh, there was no stadium to be had.
Jeff. No, I know. It was in the Performance Center, and it was so weird. All of it.
I remember rewatching it, and it opens, I think, with the women's tag titles. And I was just like, this is awkward. It's just the announcers and four people and nothing. It was very strange.
Were the Golden Role Models the tag champs at the time then?
I remember Bliss Cross. No.
Oh, Bliss and Cross were, okay.
I think it was Bliss Cross and Kabuki Warriors. I think that's... I think yeah.
No, that you're correct on that. What was Bayley doing in that match and in that Mania?
I do not remember.
Okay, I'll look it up.
All right. In the meantime, what else do we have that was really, really memorable? We'll talk about Firefly Funhouse more, but not.
Well, I mean, even on the early ones, like the Body Slam Challenge between Stud and the Giant. Andre the Giant. That was interesting. I mean, that was the first real spectacle type thing that they do. And you know, Vince loves Giants. So yeah.
That would have been fun to see live.
I didn't see the first two. I saw them on videotape, VHS, at my local video store because I reiterate that I did not grow up in an area. Number one, I didn't have cable for a long time. And number two, I didn't have WWF in my area. It was all Jim Crockett. But my local video store always picked up the Coliseum videotapes for some reason. I got to watch. That's how I watched the first three WrestleManias, I believe.
Can I hit you with a hot take, Jeff?
Sure.
WrestleMania 2 is just a big old gimmick.
Yes.
The whole show is a big old gimmick.
The whole show, because it's actually three WrestleManias.
Yes. So hypothetically, this is WrestleMania 41. 42.
Well, no, it's just three different locations because Starrcade had done that, I believe, the previous year. They had done it in two locations, so Vince decided he needed to do WrestleMania in three.
See, I love the idea of Vince just being like, we're going to start WrestleMania, and it's going to be 8:00 everywhere we start.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's what Bayley was. Bayley did the fatal five-way for the women's title against Sasha, Lacey, Naomi, and Tamina. In that empty one.
I remember none
of that. Nothing. Nothing. Yeah.
Remember when the Big Show challenged Drew McIntyre after WrestleMania and then they aired it on Raw the next night?
No. It just looking through here, though, the evolution of the ladders, when it went from like TLC and all that to the Money in the Bank, and then it became the Intercontinental, let's kill all our mid-carders thing, because we had a few years of the Intercontinental ladder match. Like the year Zack Ryder won.
God bless Matt Cardona. I've got an interview with him dropping this week.
That was a regret of mine that I did not, because I went up for the they did an NXT show at San Jose State, I believe, and this is before they started doing takeovers or anything like that. I actually drove up from LA to San Jose because I was such a mark for NXT at that time. I was so loving it. Headlined by Charlotte and Sasha, I believe. And then I didn't stay for WrestleMania because I had no interest in it. I came home and watched it on TV. But that was a fun one. But I just remember the picture after WrestleMania was like Zack Ryder with the Intercontinental title. And you had, that was the one where they took the belt off of Zack Ryder to give it to Miz.
Yes. The next name, Maurice came back.
When Maurice came back, I was thinking that was when they had the titles on Punk, Bryan, or Daniel Bryan and Ryder at the same time. But no. This was the one where they literally just said, you don't get this anymore.
Ryder, you get your WrestleMania moment. And then
you get to shake hands with Razor Ramon, and then you get to lose the title the next night.
I'm sure he didn't care. He got the moment. He got the payday.
He cared.
I guess maybe, I don't know. Should have asked him.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do that. There's so many like Money in the Bank matches. I know we said it got its start at 21, but like, man, they ran that match for several years.
Yeah. 5 years before they put, or 4 years, 4 or 5 years before they put on its own pay-per-view.
And I love that Shelton Benjamin is in every single one of them.
He's the king of those, man. Watch those early ones, man. He is the man in those.
And Finley was in a bunch of them. MVP somehow got his way in a bunch. Like, there's some wild.
I loved MVP in that one, too. MVP, yeah. MVP took the big shot from the top of the ladder to the ladder that was leaning against the ring that year. Right. And I just, I, I, I always will respect the hell out of MVP for that bump alone.
And then WrestleMania 22, when Ric Flair was in the Money in the Bank ladder match, everyone was like, this is going to be the year Ric Flair dies in the ring. And meanwhile, here we are so many years later, and everyone's like, this is going to be the year that Ric Flair dies in the ring.
Yes. I just remember that first one. The reaction was, okay, we got this ladder match. We're going to have Edge, Chris Benoit, cool. Shelton Benjamin, cool. Chris Jericho, cool. Christian, great. And Kane, what?
Gotta have a big man in that match, pal.
Gotta have somebody to... Gotta have a big man to take the bumps.
That's right. Now it's the NXT special. Whenever there's a big five-way match for the North American Championship, you gotta have the one big guy in there.
There's not, though, this year.
Yeah, that's right. This year it's not, but, you know, that's just because...
Which makes it far more interesting to me. Yeah, because I thought for sure Von Wagner was getting in that thing.
I was all for it for all the wrong reasons.
I know you were, because you hate fun. Hey, what happened to Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal winner Madcap Moss?
What are you talking about? What do you mean what happened to him?
Whatever happened to him?
He never left.
Oh.
He's still the guy.
Huh. So he held the title?
I'm trying to vamp while I get my overlay up, but someone deleted all of my Madcap overlays. Douchey thing to do. I've just been owned by my own channel.
The Belfast Brawl, JBL beat Finlay.
Yeah.
They had JBL go over Finlay in a signature match.
What happened there? Like, I do not remember the build or anything.
I don't remember the build. I just remember JBL, I think that was still Wrestling God JBL. I'm not sure.
Had to have been.
Might have been at the end of that. And then Finlay was going to retire after that. So that's why they had him look up at the lights. Yeah.
Bunch of dicks. What happened to Madcap Moss? That's what happened. Bam. That's what happened. Bam. That's what's happening after WrestleMania.
Other ones I'd like to forget about. Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler.
Oh, God. That was just a match.
Heel Michael Cole was the worst thing this company's ever done.
It was pretty awful.
And they've done horribly racist and homophobic gimmicks.
But this one took the cake.
But Michael Cole being a heel announcer is still the worst thing they ever did to their product.
So Hogan and Vince at 19 is a street fight. It's not a gimmick match. But the most gimmicky thing about it is like the background and then having Roddy Piper in it. And also the facials.
Yes.
I'll never forget you have Hogan, not Hogan, Hogan's bloody as hell. You have Vince's bloody face like appearing over the mat, over the apron.
Oh, yeah, when he does that little peek up thing.
Yeah. And stuff like that's great. And then Piper, of course, coming back. And this is important because this was a match that was further built using the Hall of Fame. And we hadn't seen that yet, and we haven't seen it since. And everyone thought that this year's Rey Mysterio, Dom Mysterio match was going to come to a head at the Hall of Fame, and it still could.
I'm glad it's not, though.
Why?
I actually like the Hall of Fame being somewhat respectful.
But you know where the Hall of Fame is physically.
Yes, in our minds and in our hearts.
No, you know where it actually resides?
Where?
It's in it. Well, not anymore because
there's in the storage in Stanford.
No, it's in Stanford, but it was in the offices in an elevator. I shit you not. I told the story on Kate and Joel, I think. And like it's in the elevators at Titan Towers. But now because they've moved to a new office or are in the process, like now they could physically have a Hall of Fame if they so choose.
Yes.
Won't. But they won't. That being said, like, why is the Hall of Fame is not serious?
See, the thing about the Hall of Fame for me this year, we're going on a tangent, kids, because, you know.
It's what we do.
Because this is what we do. Between the three presenters, or at least two presenters and a guy I think is going to show up. So between Ric Flair, Conan, and Bob Zmuda as Tony Clifton.
Oh, God bless. Please do it.
Who's most likely to send that thing off the rails?
Depends. Do we get to do a whole thing with Bob Zmuda singing Moon River?
I think Bob Zmuda goes hard on into Vince.
Oh, I would pay.
If he's there.
I would pay.
Because my joke was I really want I really want Andy Kaufman to literally show up and say it's been a bit for the last 30 years and that people are forgetting who he is. So now's the time to cash in on it.
They'll do an AI Andy Kaufman bit.
That's what they do. Hologram Andy Kaufman, like Tupac at
you get it,
Coachella.
Yeah, let's do it. That's the way to do it.
And it's Jim Carrey doing that terrible thing that he thinks is Andy Kaufman.
Yeah. I love that movie though.
I was on the Universal lot when they were shooting that, and Jim Carrey was hell on earth.
That's what that next movie was. He did the whole explanation several years later, where he's like, I was a monster. I was a madman. I was an awful human being.
Yeah.
Like,
He thought he was being, he thought he was doing method acting. So what he'd do things like he'd dress up as the Gimp from Pulp Fiction and he'd jump onto trams to scare Japanese tourists. And one of them had a heart attack, I believe. He'd dress up as a homeless man. He'd go rolling around in a dumpster and he'd go into the theme park to start bugging guests.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, guess who had to deal with him once?
Jim Carrey, though, he's always been nuts. He's always been a whack job. Like that's the thing. It should come as a surprise to nobody that he is off the rails, bonkers.
Oh, there's the worst one, maybe. The Extreme Rules match between Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, I'm looking at that.
It was bad.
They tried doing that in 2009.
I can't believe he did a brother versus brother feud.
Got to do it somewhere.
That literally pretty much killed Matt Hardy's career.
Yeah, that's fair.
To me. I mean, he's never been as over as he was when he was in the Hardys.
Yeah.
After that. It was always, it's the Jeff Hardy show with Matt Hardy.
It's true, actually, because Jeff was always the one who was willing to absolutely go nuts in his matches, where Matt was the methodical one.
Matt was smart.
Yes. that's why Matt still wrestles to this day.
Oh, yeah. One of these, another tangent. One of these Money in the Banks was the Mr. Kennedy.
Yeah.
Kennedy. I loved that gimmick so much.
They all loved it until he got a little bit too big of a head for it.
Well, yes.
And then he ended up getting completely smashed out of it, out of his Money in the Bank opportunity.
And then Orton took a back body drop wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shane and Vince at 17. I know that's not really. Well, it's a
lot of these are Shane centric. You'll notice towards the latter stages. It's how can we get Shane on this show and have him do dumb stuff?
How do we have him dive out of a helicopter and completely no-sell the finish? No, but Shane and Vince was it was a street fight and a whole like stipulation, but it was very gimmicky because you had Trish and you had Linda at
risk. Oh, yeah.
You had Mick Foley as
it was story centric, so it was very gimmick heavy. But the actual street fight stipulation is a stipulation.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, this is where you kind of blur the line.
Yes, you can gimmick them up. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And that was good stuff. Well, okay. I don't remember Savage and Crush. It was a no disqualification, like a last man stand. It was a 60-second count.
Yeah.
So you had to do it to get back up?
Yeah, it was basically like a last man standing match.
But instead of 10 seconds, it was 60.
Yes.
That's boring as hell. Why would you do that?
Yes. Man, and Crush was boring as hell then.
It's fair.
He was doing this heel Kona Crush gimmick.
Oh my God. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah.
It was not good.
And remember they had put, they were trying to put Macho Man out to pasture at this time. Too almost, old.
They almost got there.
God.
Title versus Hair, Victoria and Molly Holly. This was actually a really interesting match because it took Molly Holly to put her hair up on the line to get the stupid match on the card.
Yes.
And that is like dedication to the craft. This is like the gimmick match that is the most praiseworthy.
Yeah. There's another hair versus hair match though. In the lexicon, it's Adrian Adonis and
Piper
and Piper. And I thought there was another one with Umaga.
Yeah, Umaga and Lashley. That was Battle of the Billionaires.
Oh, that's right.
I was there for that. Yeah.
We don't talk Trump and McMahon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Molly Holly is, along with Gail Kim and possibly Mickey James, are the triumvirate of underappreciated WWE female legends.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Because every time it's Trish Lita, Trish Lita, Trish Lita. And Mickey's still out there doing it.
Yep.
Gail Kim, they never knew what they had in her. She had to go elsewhere to do things. And then Molly, poor Molly did so much. And the knock against her was she wasn't model hot internally. That was the knock against her. So, we can ugly her up a bit and shave her head. But she got everything over that she did. I mean, she was so great. It's actually broken my heart that she's been in so many women's Royal Rumbles.
You know what's really fun? Well, also, I mean, she works as a producer.
She's
now.
A producer now, and that's a nice reward for her.
Yeah, I mean, when she got into the Hall of Fame, they were like, "Hey, you want to try out?" And here we are. All three of those women you just mentioned have, you know, walked on to do a lot of amazing things, both backstage and in front of the camera. If you're Mickie James still, and in terms of Molly Holly, it's so interesting to think that her gimmick in WCW was Beauty Queen.
Yes.
Right, they brought her in as Miss Madness or as Mona, and then like the whole time, and she's always been beautiful, but like
she's gorgeous.
She was literally portraying a beauty queen, and then she comes into WWE, and they're just like, yeah, but she's not like that hot.
Well, this was also the, I mean, you remember,
she's not sleeping with me, so why should I care?
Well, legend was, you know, when they were talking about he who shall not be named being made world champion, that Stephanie once said, well, who'd want to F him? And you're like, okay. A little creepiness going on there. But yeah, but no. And look, as CM Punk can probably tell you, shaving your head is a risky proposition.
Yeah, you don't know how that thing's going to grow back.
You don't know how that's going to grow back. It didn't grow back well for old Phil, in my opinion.
Woof.
A little bit of a widow's peak thing going on where he's, you know,
you gotta, instead of doing it, slicking it straight back, you just gotta style it right.
Okay. I'm a man who hasn't had hair in a number of years, Joel. I don't know these things.
That's fair. I get it.
I'll be in a hair match.
Did we talk about the flag match?
No.
Kirshner and Volkov in Chicago.
Oh. Corporal Kirshner was so terrible.
Yes.
I mean, and it was all basically WWF being hurt that Sergeant Slaughter left.
Oh my God, that's Run true. Cut. They got him back, but look, come on.
Oh yeah, they got him back. And made him an Iraqi sympathizer.
Hey, that WrestleMania 7 had a big sold out venue. Didn't remember?
Nikolai Volkov's interesting. I've actually gotten to watch some of his older stuff in like Mid-South and stuff. He's a legit, he had legit grappling credentials and things like that. And then he both NWA and WWF turned Russian villains into separatists when the Cold War was coming to a head during the Reagan years. Because do you remember Lithuanian Nikolai Volkov?
No, and this is coming from a guy who's been to Lithuania. So
yeah. Well, I mean, I think he's actually from Lithuania, but they had him turn on Boris Zhukov, I believe.
Oh yeah.
And we're doing Russia versus Lithuanian, and we're trying to make him trying to use that as a sympathy type of stuff. We need this to be more than wrestling. We need world peace. Rocky IV is huge.
What is it with wrestling and Rocky? What are we doing here?
Well, I mean, the first Rocky is great.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Or so I've been told. I've never seen it.
You've never seen the Rocky movies
either? I've only seen two Rocky movies, and that's Rocky IV and Rocky Balboa.
Ah, the fake ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was a kid, and we went for a birthday party to see Rocky IV.
Fair enough.
That's why I love Living in America by James Brown.
Oh, that's a good song, though.
Also my favorite UFC entrance ever. Tom Lawler coming out as Apollo Creed.
All I can think of is Weird Al's version of that, Living with a Hernia.
Living with a Hernia, yeah. Right. Strong stuff.
What about lumberjack matches?
There's a lumberjill match.
There's two of them.
Two lumberjills or a lumberjack and a lumberjill?
Well, listen, in like 2000s WWF, the latter, or the former and the latter, quite frankly.
Okay.
But like at one point, you were trying to put all the women in the same match because you only had one women's match on the card. So they did, at WrestleMania 23, they did the Lumberjills with Melina and Ashley in the match.
Yes.
And at 24, they had Beth Phoenix and Melina against Ashley Mazzaro and Maria Kanellis.
Actually, you know what? The thing about lumberjack matches is that over time, they've just become so effing ridiculous.
You might call them a gimmick.
It is a gimmick match.
Oh, yeah.
But like back in my day, back in the day, you'd occasionally have actually straight lumberjack matches where there wasn't all the baby faces attack all the heels and it turns into bedlam. And then that allows the heel to score a pinfall by cheating when the referee is trying to maintain control and all that other stuff. Like, I think there's something to, but you have to establish that in storytelling. You have to establish that the heel likes to run away. And it used to be you could do a lumberjack match, do that. It's more or less that mythos has been replaced by a cage match. Although in the WWF, they still do the stupid escape the cage stipulations, which I hate.
Why do you hate it?
Because the point of the cage is to keep both people in there.
Yeah, but escaping it should be just as good as
trying No, Joel, you're wrong. You are wrong and soft. I hate you. No, no. The point is to have two. The point is to trap two people like wild animals in a cage, let them fight it out to the death, air quotes, and there be a definitive winner. It's not put them both in and see if somebody can get out of it.
Kind of like Taker and Mark Henry in a casket match.
Casket matches are the worst.
I can't believe that that's the only WrestleMania casket match.
Well, there's been one on a Rumble.
Yeah. There have been others at random pay-per-views.
Yes, at random pay-per-views, and they use that as the headline.
Yeah, but I just...
So I understand why.
Of course. From a business standpoint, it makes sense. I just, for some reason, thought that there was another one.
I thought there was, too. I'm not going to lie. I didn't mean to just... be contrarian on you there, but no, I agree. And boy, of all the casket matches you could have.
And again, talking about the business of things, like you put a casket match on WrestleMania, how do you make it bigger? Well, you had to have a bigger casket than you would normally have. That was the whole, like the Mabel story again, you know,
yeah.
You get the super casket for Mark Henry. So
why did I think that Punk Undertaker was a... No, it's not.
No, it wasn't. It was the Urn story.
That was the Urn story. As was the Mr. Hughes.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I love Curtis Hughes. The most awesome-looking, terrible wrestler.
There's a lot of... Yeah, as Bruce Pritchard used to say, but then the bell rang.
Yeah, but then the bell rang. But I love his look. I just... As a character, he's great. As a wrestler, not so much. Keep him on the outside. And as a trainer, great.
What about
he's a trainer in Atlanta right now.
I was gonna say he has a school where he trains.
Yeah.
And he does pretty well. But then I think I've also heard people say he's never at said school.
Well, that's part of the gimmick too.
that's the old Hart. That was the Bruce Hart gimmick.
That was the gimmick in the early 90s too, because it's like when I went to wrestling school, I was expecting one legend to be there, and he wasn't there. It's like it was always his underlings who were in there just punking people out and stuff.
Toiling away. How seriously do you want it? I learned this way. You should all learn this way.
Well, it's or you learn the Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer way, and you rip off the guy who later becomes the Undertaker.
No.
Take $350 and you clear town, and then years later you're in the same locker room, and uh-oh.
Oh, where do we go from here? Pay him money. I don't care. Just get him out of here. Did we talk about Akebono and
we did very briefly. We said I like those types of matches. I like freak show matches like that occasionally.
Yeah,
I think they're good for wrestling.
So then, why didn't you like Firefly Funhouse?
Because that was just done poorly.
Explain. Because there are some people who will disagree. I'm sure there are people who will agree. But like, what didn't do it for you?
The John Cena through the multiverse stuff.
Not even. What about like the John Cena alternate reality?
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Was it really that bad though? Like, what if John Cena did this? What if he did that? What if he joined the NWO? What if
it was? It also felt derivative of the Hardy fights on those compounds, which were so great.
Yes, and those were a different time for sure. Doing the Ultimate Deletion and all those matches. Remember when they did the first one in Impact and they sent screeners to like all of these?
Yes, because I got a screener at the time. Yeah.
And then they were like, we need you to film your reaction to this. I will never forget watching the compilation of reactions to this. And this is how Impact thought they were going to like change the business. Not the Hardys.
No.
Impact specifically. We're just like, these reactions are going to be big on YouTube and they're going to be the next big thing.
I still can't believe they had a Nigerian drum fight.
Sat there for weeks positing all the options that this could mean. And what are they
going to do? What kind of mythos are they going to use for this?
No, like I was like, it's just going to be a bunch of drums and they're going to beat each other up with the drums. And they didn't even do that.
No.
So stupid. That part really buzzes me more than anything else. Like, I don't give a shit that the match was like just bad.
Yeah.
I give a shit that all these drums were just there and barely used. Where did they rent them from? And how did they get them back? Maybe that was why.
Okay, so we had Hell in a Cell, Undertaker, and Shane. We had False Count Anywhere, Miz and Shane. Remember the great build for the Braun Strowman, Shane McMahon steel cage fight?
That match was awful.
You're stupid.
The Braun Strowman came out. Yeah, Braun is dumb. Braun is dumb.
Braun is dumb. Braun is dumb. And it turns out Braun is dumb.
Turns out Braun is dumb. But Braun won the match.
He did win the match. I was hoping they'd pay that off with Braun losing. I remember my prediction show for that one.
Was it going to be Braun throws Shane out of the cage?
Yes.
That's how
he. I think that's what it was. I think it was, you know, he just throws him out the door or whatever, and then loses. And then Shane just points and laughs.
He throws him through the cage, through the not the ceiling, through the side, a la Paul White and Vince McMahon and Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And, you know, do the same Valentine's Day Massacre finish. And that would have been perfect.
Yeah.
We didn't do it that way. What else is on this match? I mean, we touched on Boneyard, but we didn't like really deep dive as to whether or not it was a good gimmick match. Because
it was a great gimmick match, I thought.
Yeah, it had a lot of really good things in it, especially given the fact that like Undertaker was at a certain age. AJ is more campy at this point than anything else.
People were whining about, why are we misusing AJ?
Right.
Who's a great in-ring performer, blah, blah, blah. I was like, do you remember the first first Mania that AJ was in where everybody was saying, oh, they're going to have to put him over because it's his first one and his star thing. This is how I made my bones in commentary, Joel. I'm the only person who goes, no, they're going to have Chris Jericho beat him clean as a sheet.
That's just what you do, pal.
Because he's not part of the, we got to test him. We got to break him down and build him up, pal.
That's right. We got to test him. That was the next thing I was going to say. You just got to, you got to make him learn.
Make him learn the WWE way.
Oh, man. What an awful, awful deal that was.
Yeah. I mean, it was the best use of the OC that there's ever been.
Yeah, that's fair. They're supposed to be in the Andre the Giant battle, the arm bar. They're going to be in the arm bar next week.
Is that what we call it now?
That's what I call it. The Andre Rusev, was it Memorial Battle Royal?
The only thing about that stupid battle royal is that they rib somebody to have to take that trophy all over the place.
And you got to do the pose.
And you got to do the pose. Take the pose.
Because that's how Andre posed back in the 70s.
So I've come to the conclusion that this year, because I've looked at the people that are in this.
Yeah.
It's Gargano. They're going to give it to a short guy to have to do the pose.
Oh, my God. I think it's gonna be Bronson Reed, but I mean, Gargano would be hilarious.
Actually, Bronson Reed would be a good choice.
Yeah, you want to start getting
Now that I think about it, that's probably more correct than me.
Yeah, and there are other people who
I was saying they're going to do it as a rib to a short guy.
I mean, a lot of people are saying LA Knight because he's awesome. Yeah. I can't yell yeah right now because I have a woman sleeping in a room across the
apartment. I like LA Knight.
Who doesn't?
Dave Meltzer.
I asked important people who doesn't.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, but that's where he got the reputation of, once the bell rings type thing. I go, I think he's fine. He bumps for guys like a madman. Look, he's not Kenny Omega.
Ooh, I don't want him to be Kenny Omega.
I don't even like Kenny Omega all that much, to be honest with you. But that's me, and that's my personal predilections, and I'll talk about that sometime else. Hey, who's Kenny facing next WrestleMania?
AJ Styles.
Oh, actually, that might be three-way with him and Finn.
Yeah, let's
leader of the Bullet Club match. Battle but they never mention it.
They call it the Battle of the Club.
And there, let's go over the gimmick matches. In the last 10 minutes we have, or so. Are we just going an hour? I figure we're just going an hour.
Yeah, but no, we can go 20 if we really wanted to. Really,
but let's go over the gimmick matches this year. Do you have that in front of you by chance?
Let's pull up the WrestleMania 39 card because there must be.
Well, there's a Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, but there's a Hell in the Cell every year now.
Joel is unimpressed with your Hell in the Cell matches, WWE.
I don't mind it. It's
I don't feel like the feud got like Ray Dominic should be Hell in a Cell. That's match with a personal issue.
It is, but it's not personal enough to get there yet.
Oh no, it got personal on Friday. I thought they hit
the. I was covering perfectly. Sacrifice, so I haven't seen.
Okay, so here's the deal: is that and my theory was this: as soon as Dominic goes after his mom, it's over for him.
Right,
and so they were sitting ringside. He's talking trash to Aaliyah, Buddy Murphy's girlfriend, and and his mom, and Ray's leaving. He's like, oh yeah, he left all that. He turns to mom, and mom takes the mic out of his hand and goes, Dominic. And Dominic takes the mic right back and goes, Mom, shut up! And yells at. And you just see Ray go, that is the love of my life, and you are not pulling that shit right now. Went over and just started beating on him or slugged him. I was like, yes, there you go.
Problem is, if Ray and Dominic are in Hell in a Cell, how will Vicky Guerrero come in and affect the match outcome?
Oh, God.
That's my boy. That's my boy.
Excuse me. That's my son.
I need interactions between Vicky Guerrero and Chelsea Green. Like ASAP. I need Chelsea to like walk up to Vicky and be like, I love your hair. And Vicky to be like, thank you. I've been waiting for someone to comment me on my hair. And then they hug it out and they're just like, something about you I think I'm going to like.
Oh, you're expecting them to do something with Chelsea Green. That's so cute.
I just want them to keep doing
that. That's so adorable, Joel.
I just
want to take it out for your fellow Canadians. I just want to pat you on the head.
It's true. I just need her to be in every segment every week. What else?
I think Vicky's done now, actually.
Yeah.
Someone asking in the chat when their contract. I don't know if she has a contract that runs out, but I think she's done, actually. She could probably appear at WrestleMania.
Let's do it.
I'd take her over Conan.
I love the, I know that everyone was like, oh, he's going to start his Hall of Fame speech with, do you listen to my podcast? No, it's not that. He's going to do an entire podcast as his introduction.
Oh, no, he's going to, do the WCW NWO intro for himself, because he's going to get it. He wants that one last pop for him because he never got it. He's going to do the Arriba La Raza.
I hope he comes out to the Filthy Animals theme song.
I hope he comes out dressed as a 20-year-old gangster from 1995.
Well, he's got the baggy pants and then the
baggy pants and the plaid shirt.
The plaid shirt only has the top button done up. And that's it.
Smoking a giant blunt, saying he's in Iran. Yeah, that'll be perfect.
And he's got the stovepipe hat or the
yes,
the Walter White hat. Yeah,
and he does a somersault on his way to the podium to pretend that he's doing a clothesline.
Did you like that about Conan when he did that?
No. I thought he was cooked once he got to WCW, to be honest with you.
That's fair.
He was great on that last bit of ECW he did before they all got signed.
Mm-hmm.
Never did anything for me in WCW. But he was fantastic before that.
The only gimmick match
is Hell in the Cell.
And so here's the thing with Edge and Finn. This is a story, love it or not, that's been going on for a year.
Yes, it's terrible.
As of Mania. And it's been on and off, which, like, love it or hate it. And I agree, it's been largely not great. But, like, I got to give it to Edge. As much as I dislike the way that it's coming across, at least there's been long-term story. Long-term storytelling throughout his entire return.
Yes, but I don't like Edge's storytelling. Like, his promos are just... Yes. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Okay. Actually, you know what? Rhea and Beth are really what made this story to me. I thought they were both great, especially in that mixed tag match.
Yeah, and watching that one live was bonkers. I loved it. It was such a good match. But yeah, I thought that it was going to be Edge and Beth at Mania against Rhea and Finn at that point. I didn't love Rhea getting the Rumble win, but
I thought there'd be a gimmick for Asuka and Bianca, to be honest with you. And that was just lazy what they did with that entire story. Go act crazy again. This time you're in clown makeup though, Asuka. Okay.
Yeah, you're a crazy clown.
I'm hoping for an Asuka Muda mist at the end of the match.
Oh, that'd be fun. Do a whole thing, do an interaction. Is there anything else from the old school Manias that really like stand out?
Let me take a look here.
I'm taking a look again, just in case we miss something important.
Well, I mean, once you got into Bret Austin, the matches really became a lot better.
I put down the Eurocontinental 2 out of 3 falls match from WrestleMania 2000.
That's Angle and
Angle Jericho Benoit.
That's a fun match.
It's a fun match. That's the one where Kurt came in with the European and Intercontinental Championships. And then they did a 2 out of 3 falls match where
where the first winner gets the European title and the second gets the Intercontinental.
This isn't so much gimmick. It's again straddling the line where
that's stipulation.
It's stipulation,
but it's still fun.
it's gimmicky in the way that they're like, you have two titles, so we're gonna have a 2 out of 3 falls match to get the titles off you. And it worked. Oh, Brawl for All.
Yes, Brawl for All. The finals was there.
Butterbean absolutely KOing Barclay.
Just mollywopped him.
he effectively knocked him out and his career to go
with it. And he killed that entire gimmick.
100%.
100% killed that gimmick dead.
No more Brawl for All, no more Bark Gun, no more anything. They were like, no, never happened. Didn't happen.
I'm trying to look up if D'Lo Brown ever had a singles match at WrestleMania.
He definitely did not.
Okay.
There's a bunch of battle royals. The hardcore battle royal. I love that from WrestleMania.
Hardcore battle royals. The gimmick battle royal.
The gimmick battle royal. That's the last one we got.
That was more fun than it had any right to be. But the problem was, of course, Iron Sheik couldn't take a bump. So he had to win.
That's how he wins.
Yeah. Although the commentary on that one was fun.
Yeah, having
Heenan and Cornette, I believe, are both on commentary at the same time.
No, it's Heenan and Mean Gene.
And Mean Gene, okay.
Cornette's in the match, and Cornette and Pritchard.
Oh, Cornette was in it, that's right.
So Cornette and Pritchard are attached to each other for the entirety of the match, because they're like, we don't want to take any bumps.
Yes.
And any of these old guys to come after us and like stiff us.
And Vince is back at Gorilla. Like that, just laughing at him.
Bastards.
How much, he's back at catering. How much to shoot on Pritchard today?
Look at all this money I made. Pritchard, they all want to kill you.
Who could I sexually harass after this?
That's right. Who else is on this card?
Jeez.
That gimmick battle royal, though, is like the epitome of the most ridiculous shit to come out of WrestleMania.
But that's member berry stuff, and they love doing that at Mania now.
Why haven't they ever brought it back in some capacity?
Because the gimmicks haven't been as hard.
Fair.
In terms of going hard on the gimmick, and it's hard to do.
That's true.
I mean, you're not dressing up anybody in phony ice skates and expecting him to wrestle anymore. God bless Bill Irwin.
How do you do that? How do you wrestle like that?
I just go, that's a little bit too method, guys. Just let him have his normal feet. He's just a guy who used to play hockey and he was too dangerous and he came out. Nope, we gotta have skate guards on there.
Did you see that Darren McCarty is wrestling for Impact this weekend?
You know, Impact is, for me, one of the best feds for actual real celebrity/athletes.
Yes, because
they do it right most of the time.
Yeah. That being said.
I mean, and that's the other thing in WrestleMania that is a gimmick, but not a gimmick match, is the celebrity match now.
Right. Yeah. And
this year's is going to be great, I think.
And that's the thing. Like, Logan Paul is not
so good. He's a terrible human being, but he's so good in the ring.
He's really good at also making you want to like punch him in the face. So he's effective now. But I don't even consider him celebrity because he's had a few matches.
Okay.
Like where now he's like, he's entrenched in WWE stories. Therefore, like for longer than just one pay-per-view cycle. So I see him more as like a recurring character.
Let's do some prop bets. On Mania.
Let's go.
Just thinking out loud here, some things. Will Pat McAfee make an appearance?
Yes, but on commentary.
Okay. What are the chances that they don't belt Cody and they decide that they want to pivot to Jay and Roman?
I don't know how odds work, but like whatever the minus a million equivalent of not going to happen is.
Okay, so it'd probably be about plus 10,000.
Oh, so it's the other way. So plus is when it is.
Yeah, when they're the favorite, it's minus. Because
they won't pay you as much.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Have you told you how much I love going to Vegas and not gambling?
Yeah.
To me, double or nothing is when I can't get my hotel room an hour before I check in.
Oh, geez. I still have to make my plans for that. But I'm actually hyped for this WrestleMania. It's odd because I think they're going to stick the landings on most of the programs that they're doing. They're big programs. I mean, in terms of the build, they've done Cody right. They've done the Usos and KO and Sammy right. They've done Ray and Dominic correctly, I think. They've done Logan Paul and Seth right, I think, in many ways. I think the one and of course, the Gunther story has been fantastic, too. It's the women who have suffered this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's another one. Chances are they just decided to put Charlotte over Rhea.
I can see Rhea winning and Bianca retaining. That's where I'm at.
It's so weird because I would have told you when it started that Asuka was going over Bianca, but then they did nothing with that build. Exactly. They did nothing with that character choice. She just came out and did the wacky dancing again. And Asuka go out there and be crazy because I thought this was going to be the year. Okay, we're going to give Asuka her flowers at Mania.
This is their version of doing that.
Yeah, Charlotte came out last night and just cut a terrible promo.
So tradition, okay.
Well, I mean, the crowd's wanting her, and she's getting mad at them for wanting her.
I'm looking forward to it.
And they're trying to do an emotional babyface promo out of here, and nobody's having any of it.
She's not a babyface. Every time they try to babyface her, everyone's just like, stop it. What do you
I think Flair comes in to try and help her win.
I could see that, especially if he's going to be at Hall of Fame on Friday. Yeah. 100%.
I think the 6-1 match is going to be the underappreciated might steal the show match.
I could see that, but
I'm not big on Lita, but the other five are great in the match. But I think it's going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of histrionics and a lot of storytelling in this match.
Yeah. And they're already trying that with socials, which is fine. Like it's a good thing to have. But other than that, I don't see there's no,
I hated that they made Becky the man last week again.
It was expected. It was,
it's well, Vince. It has to be Vince, right?
No. I think if anything, it was Becky being like, or everyone just being like,
Becky decided to be a theater kid again and decided to get dressed up.
It was a marketable machine, the man. How much they sold so much gimmicky shit with that.
Yeah, but they sold the simple, the man, when it was just the man shirt. She was being Stone Cold Becky Lynch. Hey. Not being Seth. Hey, Seth, let's go into our wardrobe and see what the wackiest thing we can find tonight is.
That was, hey, Seth, let's hire somebody to come do our wardrobe.
Yeah.
And then hope that they don't get kicked out when somebody tries.
Who can be more like Elton John on The Muppet Show?
But I love that. It's every week. It's just tune in to see who looks weirder.
Seth Rollins goes into town, finds a Ross somewhere, goes in the women's section, says, what can I make work here?
He doesn't even do that. He walks into like the local drapery and buys as much fabric as he can. And he's like,
what's the worst looking 70? No, he goes into like a hotel surplus outlet and finds curtains from like a 70s Vegas hotel like, and says, make me a suit out of that.
He doesn't even, he brings it back to work and he's like, I'm going to make them
this
work tonight. They're going to have to earn their money.
Mikazi, come over here.
Yeah, exactly. The reason Sandra Gray doesn't work for WWE anymore is because she got pissed off at Seth trying to get her to make suits for him.
This is a hostile work environment. I can't work under these conditions. What the hell's he doing to me?
I've been here for 25 years. I worked in WCW, for Christ's sake, and it was better than this.
I dressed Hogan, and he was...
They know many times Hogan said, that's not going to work for me, sister. I still worked.
Triple H made me sew a biker costume every year.
You remember those bike shorts? That was all me. That was all Miss Gray. I could
just... Who is the appearance that will have everybody going, oh my God, I can't believe that person showed up to Mania, if there is one?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of if there is going to be one.
Not The Rock. It's Brian Gewirtz shows up. And it's just one of those if you know, you know moments.
He'll be in New York.
Yeah, we all will.
You will? What?
I'd rather be in New York.
Yeah, I hate New York City.
Like it better than LA, I tell you.
I'd rather go to SoFi than go to New York City.
Oh, no.
And trust me, I went to a Super Bowl at SoFi. It's not easy to get in and out of there, no matter what.
The entire Anoa'i family shows up for WrestleMania. That's the big news. And just to watch Roman lose.
Oh, or they surround the ring and they do some like funeral for Roman after he loses.
They do a full Viking wrestling funeral. They coat the ring with whatever Triple H said they were shielding the ring from COVID-19 with. It turns out that stuff was flammable.
As long as Haku and the Barbarian are there, even though they're not really family. Like, I'd love Haku to be there just for no reason.
Well, they're all owed a date as a make good because they didn't do Raw 30 with the tribal council.
Yeah. I think Austin shows up.
I do too.
And I think he ends up stunning LA Knight.
100%. I've been saying this for.
Because LA Knight's going to love that too. Well, Austin, yeah, I'll do it.
The face to face is that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What? Yeah.
Yeah. What?
And people
look at you.
Let's go. Look at you. Eat live cakes. Yummy. Yeah.
You're
pathetic. Yeah.
You're pathetic. And doing like, what is it? The three word promos. You came in. What? Took my gimmick. What? Doing all my vocal incantations. What?
What do you got? Some Mountain Dew Pitch Black here? Let me try some of that.
And okay, what's a, well, see, I don't want to end on a dour note, but what's a match that's going to underwhelm, you think? We won't end on that. We'll ask what overperforms after this.
Yeah.
Let me take a look at the lineup here real quick.
Theory and Cena.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be more on John Cena than on Austin Theory.
That's going to be dangerous anyways.
Well, it's going to open up the show. And the
It is. It's opening up the show, but also, I mean, Cena so thoroughly buried Austin Theory in that promo.
Do you think they've kind of led you to the finish knowing that this opens up night one of WrestleMania?
So what do you think the finish is?
Cena wins.
No, yeah. I think Theory wins because, and that way people can forget about it for the rest of the show.
I think that's fair, but I also think that it should be a statement win for Theory. But that John Cena getting that huge pop to start the night is another thing worth doing.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Theory cheats to win. And you're not allowed to say for underwhelming Lesnar versus Omos, because that's definitely going to underwhelm no matter what.
That's not even an underwhelming conversation. I think it's going to be a fun, stupid match that either ends with Brock getting beat down by the renewed Hurt Business.
Yeah.
Or Brock beating another black dude and everyone talking about it.
Wow. I hadn't thought about it that way, but thank you.
Sorry. Shout out to the Crap City guys, because I was listening to their podcast earlier today and it's been very much discussed.
Yeah. Okay.
Just sorry. It's been on my mind.
Oh, I think, that fatal four way women's tag match.
Yeah.
I wonder who the fourth team's going to be, though.
I think at one point they had it all listed, or Dave had them all listed.
Well, it's Liv, Raquel, Natty and Shotzi, Ronda and Shayna.
And then one more team from Raw.
Maybe Raw.
Well, it's supposed to be Chelsea and...
And Carmella. But it might be Chelsea and...
And Piper.
Piper. And Piper's good. I like her.
Yeah, she's great.
Shotzi can do some crazy stuff.
Yeah. Love Shotzi. She knows.
This is what Shotzi's role should always be, is you just bring her out in a match where there's a lot of people and a lot of plunder, and you just have her do a dive.
Yeah.
Or exactly. Something.
She'll probably do a full-on dive into the field.
Yes. I agree. Yeah.
It'll be a mid-rope tope, just dive, just a suicide dive through the ropes.
I mean, the matches I think are going to be good. You know, Usos, Owens, and Zayn is going to slap.
And again, this is the one thing about WrestleMania, is that there hasn't been a year that I can think of where every single match was clearly defined and built to perfection.
Yeah.
You know, every year there's always going to be two or three matches that are like, they're there. But other than that, you know, they're just...
I'm going to go with that Intercontinental title match as stealing the show, possibly.
Oh, yeah. I'm down with that. 100%.
Just Gunther smacking the hell out of these guys.
Yeah. And both men just being big bastards.
Yes.
Yeah. Let it happen. For
this
sure.
is a hoss match. This is if this is three quarters as good as Clash at the Castle, I'll be happy.
If that match goes on, let's say, night one, then Brock Lesnar and Omos has to be on night two. Just because you need those beat down weird attraction matches.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
You know, opposing each other, not on the same night.
Oh, I put them in the death spot on night two.
Brock and Omos?
Yes.
Watch Brock open up the show on night two. Just like WrestleMania, I'm not main eventing. I'm going home early.
Yeah. F it. Get me on first. I got a plane to catch.
Let me beat the shit out of Omos and get out of here.
I think Omos is winning that match.
Like I said, it's going to be the renewal of the Hurt Business, Bobby and the boys.
Okay, who's in it? Is there anybody new in it?
No, it's going to be... Okay, so Omos, Shelton, what's his face? Cedric, and Bobby. And then I know there was the photo going around that MVP had posted with Carmelo Hayes. I don't want Carmelo coming in as a member of the Hurt Business.
I don't either.
I also don't want him coming in as a member of Hit Row, which was something that someone put out there. And I was like, stop trying to put people in a box. We'll leave it at that. Yeah, that's where my as so-and-so should join Hit Row bit came in for weeks at a time.
I would love the Street Profits over.
There was Street Profits at one point. There was a photo with Street Profits and Mello.
Real Street Profits somehow appeals to me. I don't know why. It's just one of those things where it's like, okay, we're not. We either have to break up this Dawkins Ford team once and for all.
No. Yeah, probably.
Or at least, I mean, you don't have to do the turn thing. You don't have to do. See, I don't want that necessarily. Yeah. But hey, let's be singles guys and see where we can go with it. Just do you know, like Rybacksel.
Why would you say that? That's awful. I don't like that.
And I think, God, I can't believe we're going to use this 6-woman match to get to a. Is it going to be a Trish and Becky feud?
Yeah, that's what they're saying for SummerSlam.
All right.
In beautiful, sunny Detroit.
Detroit.
I hated that venue when I went there.
Ford Field. This is not the Silver Dome.
I would take the Silver Dome.
Yeah, Detroit. What is WWE's fascination with Detroit?
Motor City.
It's not a major city.
No, but it is because hot rods and cars, and Vince loves cars.
Vince likes German cars, from what I know.
No, he loves crashing German cars.
Yes, that's true. And racing his riders.
That's right.
Hey, Court.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Let's cut this. We're good.
Yeah, before we go too far. Jeff, plug your stuff.
I am at Crap Game 13. I sit on the bench for Fightful, but I also do two podcasts. I do a podcast over at Fight Game Media, patreon.com/fightgamemedia, called The Dynamite Show with Paul Ace Fontaine. About 10 minutes after the after Dynamite, we record. It goes up later that night. A thorough deconstruction, sometimes too thorough, of Dynamite. And then myself and Chris Novembrino over on Voices of Wrestling doing Shake Them Ropes, somewhat lighthearted. Pretty snarky this week, look, but next week we'll be doing our Mania preview and our NXT Stand and Deliver and hopefully Wake Up for Brunch. You can find that on all your podcast catching gimmicks.
Jeff and Pat gave Vikingo and Kenny all the stars. They loved the match more than anything in this life.
Me and Pat?
I don't know. That's
what I said. Chris Novembrino?
No. Pat LaFontaine.
Oh, Pat LaFontaine. Oh, yeah. Oh, Pat LaPrade or Pat LaFontaine?
LaFontaine. Pat LaPrade is a Montreal boy.
Yeah, Pat LaFontaine is a great Buffalo Sabre.
Sabre, that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's who you do podcasts with, is a great Buffalo Sabre.
I'm fine with that. I used to be a Sabres fan.
Wonderful. Cool. There you go. And Darren McCarty is going to be in a match.
Darren McCarty, and then we'll have, you know, Rob Ray will come back, and Matthew Barnaby. And
let's go.
Actually, let's get Matthew Barnaby in a wrestling ring and... Never mind.
Never mind is right. Dominic Hasek might come back.
Hasek?
For nobody.
Hasek and Greg Fear tag team.
Tara's groin right during the Winter Olympics. And
how are Chuck and Anderchuk, the Chuck brothers?
The Upchucks.
The Upchucks. That's even. Yes. Cut this. Cut this, Joel.
Why do we do this to ourselves? Anyway, I'm sure some of y'all found some fun in this while you're working away doing nothing all day. Until then, I am Actual Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R, all ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. We'll see you in the next one.
Yeah, cheers. Follow that, Kate.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.